Hi, I'm Jay Shubrook Dio, professor in the primary care department at Chura University, California, and we're continuing our series. Today, I'm talking with Allison Petznek Dio, a family physician and fellowship-trained diabetologist at Northern Ohio Medical Center in Sandusky, Ohio. Allison, welcome, and we're glad to have you here today.
Good morning. Thank you.
You bet, you bet. So, there are so many medicines used to treat diabetes today. I can't even keep up with how many medicines there are. And the great majority of them are new. And one of the questions I get asked is, what's the place for these older medicines? Is there a place for them and where do we use them?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a place for the older medications. One of the biggest things that I deal with on a day-to-day basis is the cost of medications and the newer medications. And so if you give a patient a medication and they can't afford it, they're not going to take it whether they tell you they're taking it or not. And so that's usually when I use those older medications. There's other specific reasons that I use some of the older medications for as well, but that's one of the main concerns that I have when choosing a medication is the cost.
Okay, and I think when I think of older medicines, I'm thinking metformin, sulfonylureas, maybe pioglitazone.
Correct. Metformin, I tend to actually keep on most of my patients that have type 2 diabetes. And the reason I do this is it helps to make them more sensitive to their insulin. I can usually use less medications, helps with some of the weight gain associated with some of the other medications. And there is some evidence about decreased risk for cardiovascular disease in the UKPDS trial, as well as some decreased risk, some potential decreased risk for certain cancers as well. So it has a lot of added benefits, not just for diabetes itself.
Yeah, so what about the other medicines? Sulfonylureas.
Sulfonylureas, I really actually try to avoid sulfonylureas most of the time unless cost is the concern. And the reason being is they have a very high risk for hypoglycemia. And that's my biggest fear and my biggest obstacle in treating diabetes is preventing hypoglycemia. I will use them due to cost. The one that I really try to avoid is glyburide. It has a lot of active metabolites, and it can actually stay in your system secreting insulin that's non-glucose dependent for 6 to 10 weeks after you've used the medication. What I find, though, is when patients come to me and they're already on sulfonylureas, it's actually really hard to get them off of them. I find a lot of rebound hyperglycemia when I take people off of them. Even if I don't think that they're really working that well to begin with, it's really tricky to get them off sometimes. As far as pioglitazone goes, I do find some use for pioglitazone besides the cost issue. Pioglitazone can help with fatty liver disease. There's some evidence to suggest that. As well as, again, it helps to make them more sensitive to their insulin.
So those are some good examples. So one of the reasons why I'm asking this is that this year at the ESAD, or the European Association for the Study of Diabetes, there was actually a study talking about new versus old meds.
Correct. The TOSCA study was a study that looked at approximately 3,000 patients with type 2 diabetes. They were already on metformin, but they had failed to gain control with metformin. So what the design looked at is they looked to see if adding pioglitazone or sulfonylureas to metformin, if that decreased their risk for cardiovascular events. The primary outcome looked at a composite of non-fatal MIs, all-cause mortality, non-fatal stroke, and unplanned coronary revascularization. Actually, the study was stopped early because they didn't have enough events. We're seeming to be treating these patients fairly well with all these other medications, but we're causing a lot less cardiovascular events. So it was stopped after 57 months. They looked and they saw that between the pioglitazone and sulfonylureas, that there was no difference in their decreased risk for cardiovascular events. Neither one of them showed a decreased risk, and neither one of them had a very high rate of cardiovascular events. They also saw that with pioglitazone, that they had a better glycemic response and a more sustainable response than sulfonylureas, as well as decreased risk for hypoglycemia.
Wow. So that's actually has some useful information. Sounds like the study had some challenges, but we could be adding these old medicines to metformin, and at least from a truncated study, there won't be an increase in cardiovascular events, but there might be a benefit of pio over sulfonylureas if we're looking at kind of sustained control.
Correct. And it was interesting because this study didn't see any increased risk for fractures or CHF with the pioglitazone, which is something that we know that potentially pioglitazone can do.
Yeah. So I think when I looked at that study, I feel much the same way that you do. It says that, yes, we can still use these medications safely. We do have to be careful about the risk of hypoglycemia with sulfonylureas. And I loved your point that when you stop a sulfonylurea, you have to have a plan to substitute or add before you subtract, because if you just stop a sulfonylurea when you think it's not working, you're going to probably lose control of the glucose.
Correct.
But you can use them. And now that we're doing cardiovascular studies, it is good to know whether the current medications, the older medications, have cardiovascular risk. And at least now we're not seeing added risk nor added benefit when we add it to standard of care.
Correct.
So what if you had to tell your colleague one important point about the older medicines, what would you tell them?
They've been around for a long time. We've got a lot of evidence to support their use. And hands down, metformin is probably the safest and has the most added benefits out of any of the older medications. Pioglitazone is probably a close second, in my opinion. And then sulfonylureas utilize if cost is the main issue.
But you could still use them in a patient where that's the significant problem.
Correct. As long as you're paying close attention to risk for hypoglycemia.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time today and your expertise. And we appreciate you contributing to the program.
Well, thank you very much. I'm pleased to be a part of this.
Thank you.